to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
Praise God. Thank you, Brother Kenny. It's a joy to be back here. If you notice, my wife's not here because she had four wisdom teeth cut out and her mouth's all sewed up. And this is the quietest she's been since we've been together. And is this on tape? Erase that part, just in case she orders the tape. But it is a joy to be back here, to be with Brother Kenny and Janice. And sorry that Pastor Terry and Jasmine are suffering for Jesus in Alaska. And really a rough life. Amen. But it is a joy to be back here, and I really mean that. I've got a word that I want to give to you today, and I believe it will really minister to you. And thank you for getting my glasses, because I don't need glasses, just that I read better with them. Amen. And sometimes I just forget. Tomorrow, it's hard to believe that tomorrow I'll be 58 years old, because it's just a wow. I'm wondering, where did the time go? You know, like after I hit 21, they sped up time on me, because it's just going by extremely fast. I don't know if any of you can relate to that. You just, wow, man. And, you know, I just praise God that we've been doing this for so many years. Do you know the last month, or the month of June, we celebrated 40 years as a missionary evangelist. And that boggles my mind. I give God the glory for that. Amen. And going through a lot of stuff, been through a lot of things, but praise God, God's brought us through it. And so it is just a joy to keep doing this. And I tell you what, I feel great. Praise God. I feel great, look great. I mean, in fact, I've decided to stay 42. I don't know, I just picked out that number and I like it, and that's what I'm going to stay at, 42. So my birthday may say 58, but I'm 42. So praise God. Let me share something with you, because I just got back a few weeks ago from our 30th trip into Cuba. And it's 30 trips now that we've made in there. And we just, not only are we remodeling and rebuilding the churches that were destroyed in the hurricane that also hit Louisiana and a lot of Texas and all that, is we're also building new churches. So just this last, a few weeks ago before I went over there, there was a family that called, because we can build these churches for $7,000. That's a church that'll seat about 120 people and the pastor's house. And that's also putting in a toilet, because in Cuba, most everybody has outhouses. I don't know if any of you can relate to that when you were younger. See, some of you don't know what I'm talking about. Some of you have gone years without praising God for your toilet. And you ought to be ashamed of yourself. There's sometimes if you were raised the way I was raised, you know, we had a one-holer. We couldn't even afford a two-holer when I was growing up. And, but anyway, now the churches that we're building, we can build an indoor toilet with a sink and tile it and make it nice and do all that for $7,000. And so that boggles my mind what we can build there right now, because the average salary right now in Cuba is about $20 a month. That's the average salary. And so I just praise the Lord that God's given us a favor that we can go in there. Now, it's very difficult for us to go in there. They give me hell now when I go through there. But this is what God's called me to do. So, you know, if God's for you, it doesn't matter who's against you. And so every time I go in there, by the time I get finished with them, they're confused. And so it's just exciting, because we pray that when we go into the camp of the enemy, that God brings confusion to the camp of the enemy. And he's doing that. And so now, praise God, we took the money over there and we're getting ready to start construction on our 65th church in Cuba. And I just praise God for that. I really mean that. And out of all the churches that Brother Kenny told that was destroyed, we have only got like 7 churches left to finish rebuilding. And out of the 51 that was messed up, damaged, some of them totally leveled, we built every one of them back. God has blessed us, given us the money to go over there, rebuild them, renew them. And every one that we built back literally is better than what was lost. Something about that in the Bible. I don't know about restoration, but You know, the word better seems to jump out in the book of Hebrews a lot. And so I just praise the Lord for this. So this is just it's an awesome opportunity for us. Raul Castro made a statement when the hurricane hit and a lot of the churches were destroyed. The churches asked the government of Cuba for help. And he came back, sent a spokesman. They made a statement on national news. I was there when it took place. And they said this. They said, well, we do not go along with the churches. We are atheists by nature. And so we cannot go along with helping the churches. So maybe the God that you say you believe in, maybe he'll build your churches back. And praise God, I'm here today to declare that God is doing exactly that, and not one penny has come out of the Castro government. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, in Jesus' name, it's an opportunity of a lifetime. We are seeing God move in a phenomenal way. The churches are exploding in Cuba. Now, this is good news, so you won't hear this on CNN. Because it's good news. But there is a Book of Acts revival going on in Cuba right now. And I'll tell you something else. Young people that are raised up in the school that is taught atheism, humanism, evolution, and all that, they are now coming to Christ in Cuba by the tens of thousands. Teenagers getting saved and finding out that God is alive and that God is real. And we are about to see a revival explode in Cuba. That's going to bring down that dictatorship in Jesus' name, folks. Hallelujah. We will see Cuba free. I promise you. And so this is where God's got us. You know, I've had the privilege of preaching in 37 countries around the world. But I don't believe I've ever been more excited than I am about Cuba. Because, man, we're smack dab right in the middle of witchcraft, devil worship, Santeria, and all that. And we have a manifest when I'm preaching. And praise God, every time they manifest, we cast the devil out and those people get saved, born again, and they're free. In fact, we just built a church not long ago, 2 years ago, right in the heart of a Santeria neighborhood. Anybody know what Santeria is? It's a mixture of different religions put together, but it's sealed with blood. And the greatest seal of the blood sacrifice is when they even sacrifice babies. And they have done that. And that's, you know, when you see a lot of things going on in America about cows that's had blood withdrawn from them and lying dead, that's most behind that is Santeria. It's witchcraft. And so we built this church 2 years ago right in the heart of a Santeria neighborhood. And when I found out that they wanted to build a church there and we got permit to do it, we went ahead and built that church there. The pastor, man, I'm telling you, we prayed over him, prayed for the anointing and the boldness of the Holy Ghost to come on him, that he would be bold and be not afraid. And let me tell you something. I just visited him because we're putting a new bathroom in for him. We visited there, and in 2 years, every person in that Santeria neighborhood that is in the religion of Santeria has either gotten born again, saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit, or they moved out of the territory. There's not one Santeria in that whole neighborhood right now. And Jesus is being exalted. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but this is exciting stuff. Praise God. I've got a word for you today. I want you to take your Bibles, and I want you to turn with me to the book of Romans, the 15th chapter. The book of Romans, the 15th chapter, verse 13. Brother Kenny, we love you. You and Janice, Angie, and I just love you and thank God for you. You're good people. Praise God. And I love you real. Amen. I appreciate that so much about you. Romans, the 15th chapter, verse 13. I want to read this from the Amplified Version because that's the version that Jesus used. And hallelujah. Peter used the King James and Paul used the NIV, but Peter, praise God, Jesus used the Amplified. All right, looking up, I hope many of you know that I'm kidding. For some of you that don't know me, just get a life, okay? Just chill out. Because when they asked me to come here and preach, and it's an honor to always come back here because I love being here, you know, you, this is it. This is what you see is what you get. Okay, this is it. And I hope many of you know us by now. You ain't looking. I just don't wear suits. I'm into jeans. I'm sorry because I belong to the tribe of Levi. And that's, sorry, if that offends you, excuse me. Amen. I believe Jesus wore Levi jeans, and I praise God when we get to heaven, and you'll find out that I was right. Praise God. But I want you to look at this in the Amplified Version. May the God of your hope so fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound and be overflowing. And I like what the Amplified Bible says, bubbling over with hope. Now he says, may the God of your hope so fill you with joy and peace that you and I may bubble over with hope. Now hang on to your seat. May the God of your hope so fill you with peace and joy that you are so full that you are bubbling over with hope. Hallelujah. I want you to listen to me this morning because I got a word for you. In season word. Growing up in church all my life. Now I'm a third generation Pentecostal. Full gospel. Not United Pentecostal. But Pentecostal. And growing up in church all my life, you know, I was thinking about this not long ago. I don't remember ever hearing one message on hope. A sermon on hope. I mean, just hope itself. I remember hearing 1 Corinthians 13:13, and it says, now abides these three, faith, hope, love, or charity. But the greatest of these is love. And so we know that verse of Scripture. And, you know, we've had seminars on faith. And, you know, we've had seminars on love. But to be honest with you, I don't remember ever having a seminar on hope. I don't remember ever having heard a sermon just on hope itself. And I'm saying, wait a minute now, there's something a little strange about this. So I knew that God was directing me to bring to the body of Christ a message of hope. So I began to do some studying on hope. Do you know that the word hope in the New Testament alone is there 142 times? 142 times just in the New Testament alone is the word hope. And I begin to wonder, now, Holy Spirit, why are you speaking to me so strong about the message of hope? And it was beginning to unravel to me what the Holy Spirit was saying. He's saying, because, son, if there's ever been a message of hope that needs to be preached to the world right now, it's right now. I looked up the word hopeless. The word hopeless means abandoned, brokenhearted, condemned, dejected, despairing, futile, inconsolable, incurable, irredeemable, irreparable, irretrievable, ruined, and useless. That's what the word hopeless means. Now, my friend, if we are not living in a hopeless world right now, I don't know where we're at. Because we are faced with monumental problems right now in the United States of America. And I have never seen more people living in a hopeless state as they are right now. Watch this. I looked the word hope up in the New Testament 142 times. The word hope means this: anticipation, aspiration, assurance, desire, expectancy, expectation, confidence, optimism, and trust. And I looked it up in Webster's Dictionary. And Webster's Dictionary, the definition of hope in Webster's Dictionary says this: confident expectation. And I'm thinking, my God, what a word today for the body of Christ. That we have confident expectation in God. Boy, that got into my spirit. In fact, the Word of God says He wants us bubbling over with confident expectation in Christ. Some of you ain't bubbling over this morning. I can see it on your face. You're counting the minutes so that you can get to the Piccadilly. But I want to give you this word because you hear what I'm saying today. When I was growing up in school, I read a book called The Tale of Two Cities. The very beginning of the words of The Tale of Two Cities was this: it was the best of times and it was the worst of times. I'm bringing to you this morning, listen to me, I'm telling you right now, in my life, tomorrow 58 years of age, I don't remember when I've ever seen the worst of times in my lifetime in the United States of America as it is right now. It's the worst of times. I'm telling you. Well, not, you got to look, okay, economically, I know that is hard too. But I'm not just talking about economically, I'm talking about spiritually. Because in America, we have forgotten God. We don't need God. I mean, from the White House on down, we're saying we don't need God anymore. We're trying to take in God we trust off of our currency. We're trying to take unto God out of the Pledge of Allegiance because America is saying we don't need God anymore. And I'm going to tell you right now, folks, right now in my lifetime, I've never seen more hopelessness as I'm seeing right now. It's the worst of times. And we better wake up and smell the coffee. Hello? It's time for we to wake up and realize America needs God. We got to get God back in the picture, folks, in America. We got to get God back into our country. And I really mean that from all of my heart with everything I've got within me. We need a revival. We need a turning back to God. We need to repent of our wicked ways and get back to our God, who is the reason why America is existing today. It's only because of the hand of Jehovah God on America. Amen? And it's the worst of times. But watch this. You're listening today to a man of God declare to you, it can also be the best of times. Why? Because when are people more prone to turn toward God? In dark times. When 9/11 took place, the Sunday after 9/11 was the greatest record attendance in church in the history of the United States of America. For a brief moment, even the Republicans and senators joined hands. It was just a moment, but thank God it was a moment. And you know what they sang? God bless America. And I didn't hear no atheist get up and say, y'all shouldn't be singing that. And I didn't hear any ACLU get up and say, you should destroy the separation of church and state. Because if they'd have done that, they'd have been killed at that moment. I know some good old boys. Well, anyway. Maybe a few live here in Louisiana. I don't know. But you see, for a brief moment, they turned to God. And listen, let me tell you, look what happened. We hadn't had a tragedy since then that's hit American soil. Huh? Because for a brief moment, America turned back to God. Right now, with all the despair, with all the people that are hurting so much, people are starting to turn back to God. Listen to me. I'm not giving you some depressing message today. I'm bringing you a message of hope, confident expectation. I'm here to declare to you that I believe in the God that I have served all these years, and He is still God, and I have confident expectation in Him. He's going to take care of His people. You say amen to that? Hey, everybody's got your Bible. Turn back with me to the book of Zechariah.
The book of Zechariah. It's in the Old Testament. The book of Zechariah. And I'll read it as soon as I find it myself. Because it's... that's why they call them hidden prophets, because sometimes them little suckers are hard to find. This will really help you. It's after the book of Haggai. Wow. It's right before the book of Malachi. Last book of the Old Testament. He was an Italian prophet. Praise God. Now listen to this. This is good stuff. Now watch this. Zechariah, the 9th chapter, verse 11 and 12. You ought to put stars by this. He says, as for you also, watch this, because of and for the sake of the covenant of the Lord with His people, which was sealed with sprinkled covenant blood, I have released and sent forth your imprisoned people out of the waterless pit. Now watch this. Verse 12. Return to the stronghold of security and prosperity, you prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will restore double your former prosperity to you. Listen to what he says. Return, the body of Christ, return to the stronghold of security and prosperity, you prisoners of hope. I want you to listen today. I'm a prisoner of hope. I take hope with me wherever I go. I don't care where I'm at, hope is with me. I'm a prisoner of hope. You ain't going to get no gloom, despair, and agony on me mess sermon from Hee-Haw. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Hey, man, you ain't get that from me, baby. I brought to you confident expectation that I serve a God who is bigger than any of your problems. I have confident expectation that He is a God that is able to bring you through anything that you're going through today. I'm a prisoner of hope. Now watch this, watch this. And he says, Brother Kenny, return to the stronghold. You know what that says? Hope has a stronghold on me. Huh? Some of you used to be in bondage to several strongholds in your life. You got free, you got delivered. But I'm here to declare to you today that hope has got a stronghold on me. And everywhere I go, I want to give people a confident expectation in God that whatever you're going through, He's able to bring you through it. Hallelujah. We have a hope in Christ, folks. I put together a few little things, a little notes, and just some sidebars and all that about hope. And I thought it was pretty neat. Number one, we have a hope of salvation. A confident expectation that because of Christ, we are born again. Amen? I want you to listen to this. This is good stuff. I'm going to read from Ephesians 2 and 11. I want you to listen to this because this is pretty good stuff. Ephesians 2 says, remember that at one time you were Gentiles, heathens in the flesh. Called the uncircumcision by those who call themselves circumcision, or by the Jews. Itself a mere mark in the flesh made by human hands. Remember that you were at that time separated, living apart from Christ, excluded from all part in Him. I like this. Utterly estranged and outlawed from the rights of Israel as a nation, strangers with no share in the sacred compacts of the messianic promise, with no knowledge of God's rights or His agreements, His covenant. And I like this. And you had no hope. No promise. You were in the world without God. But I love verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were so far away by the blood of Christ have been brought near. Can any of you remember when you were heathens? Huh? Is there anybody here that want to even admit that? That one time you was a heathen? Huh? You was bad. You and the devil were best buds. Y'all were tight. You didn't know God. Some of you didn't even want to know God. Amen? You didn't want to go to church. Didn't want to have anything. Oh, those are crazy people over there. That's a cult over there at Victory. Pastor Terry or Brother Kenny offers you Kool-Aid. Don't you drink it. They'll kill you dead in a doornail. They'll take you off to Waco somewhere or Guyana. It's a cult. You were warned not to come down here. You told not to come down here. You were a heathen, man. You were bad. Huh? But one day, you gave your life to Jesus Christ, and God changed you from a heathen to a child of the King. Hallelujah. And you are forgiven today, sitting here free in Christ. That's pretty good. Amen? That's the hope of salvation. You see, you and I right now, this is the... Do you know that right now is the greatest time in the world to get people saved? You need to take advantage. Listen, friends, opportunities come and go. Right now, I'm telling you, there's an opportunity. It's an incredible opportunity to get people saved. Right now, in the middle of all the junk going on, I'm telling you, it's a great opportunity to get people born again. It's a great opportunity for you to have, going into the fall, the greatest harvest of souls, Brother Kenny, this church has ever seen. Amen. There's a lot of unsaved people. I don't know about you, but I got lost yesterday in Baton Rouge trying to find Brother Kenny's house. God got a sense of humor. He called me to be an evangelist. I've been lost in 37 countries around the world. I get lost sometimes coming to my house. The other day, somebody asked me, said, do you believe in the hereafter? I said, yeah, I was upstairs the other day in my office wondering what I was hereafter. Still don't remember why I went up there. It'll come to me later. But I'm here to declare, right now, it's the greatest time in the world to get people saved. Now, I would believe that you would want to see people saved. Hello, born again, changed. And I believe anybody is welcome in this church. Is that right? I don't think this is an exclusive country club. I would think it would be a hospital. I don't know what that means. I started doing that a few weeks ago, and it's just following me now. And I saw somebody do that, and I'm saying, stop, stop. Angie's going to put me in therapy for that. I don't know what. But anyway, you would think... You want people born again. Amen. Do y'all accept dirty sinners here? I didn't. Yeah. Because a lot of churches now just want clean sinners. You know, they pray, oh, God, send us some clean sinners, you know. Praise God. Don't send us no dirt. Don't send us no drug addicts. Because, man, they'll wind up having a trip while we're, you know, we're singing in praises to the Lord and scare everybody to death, you know. And we don't want no alcoholics because they'll throw up all over the carpet. You know, we want clean sinners, you know, sinners that ain't that bad, you know, like lawyers and CEOs of companies. And they don't sin that much, you know. Anyway, I would think that we are a hospital. We are a hospital. And folks, let me tell you something. There's a lot of hurting people out there right now. There is a tremendous amount of... There's a lot of people in Baton Rouge that needs Jesus. And I'm telling you right now, of course, as in the heart of the evangelist, man, my heart cries out for souls. Because there's nothing thrills me more than anything in the world, get people born again. And let me tell you something, friend. Right now is a great time to get people saved. Hallelujah. Just a few weeks ago in a restaurant, I had the privilege of leading a waitress who was down and out and messed up, and I knew in my heart. I zeroed in on her on the spirit, started talking to her. She started crying, and right there she sat down at the table with me, and I had the privilege of leading a waitress in Waffle House to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something, friend. It's a great time to get people saved because we got a hope of salvation. Hey, the answer is Jesus. It's still real simple, folks. The answer is Jesus. And you know what? Our message is you don't get better and come to Christ. See, I grew up in the old time Pentecostal theology stuff that women couldn't wear makeup and had the hair up on top of their head and big buns and no makeup and scary stuff. Scary stuff is. They'd come in. If a lady ever walked in with lipstick on, they would meet her at the door and say, "You need to go to the bathroom and wash that paint off your face." Because they called it paint back in those days. You know, just, and then after she washed the paint, Jesus, put it back on. You know, you're scaring the kids. And I remember years ago back in Georgia, I had a lady come up to me and said, "Brother David, should a woman wear makeup?" And I said, "Depends on her face." And we grew up in that, you know, and we tried to, we wouldn't dare let, you know, hippies come to our church because, you know, we wanted them, you cut your hair off, clean up, put you some shoes on, then you can come to church. And I just didn't find that in the book. I didn't find that. I found that you don't get better and come to Christ. You come to Christ and get better. And we'll accept you for the way you are. We don't give a flying flip what you look like. Amen? Hallelujah. Because when you come to Christ, you're going to get better. Hallelujah. Many of you know, some of you used to be real ugly until you got saved. And now that you're a Christian, you're not so bad now, huh? Hallelujah. You look pretty good now. Why? Because He made you better looking. Christ will improve your looks, folks. Amen. This is good stuff. All right, well, just go on. Praise God. Number two, watch this. Watch this. Not only have a hope of salvation, we got a hope of the Scriptures. Romans 15:4 says this: "Whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Everybody hear what I'm saying? Because today, you know, I'm just a little on the ticked off side. Excuse me for being that way. But I'm a little ticked off with Hollywood. I'm a little ticked off with people on television. I'm just a little ticked off because when you come against my book, the book of God, the Holy Bible, listen, man, you get me ticked off. When you try to declare that this book is not the book of God and I declare that it is, I'm telling you what, you're listening to one ticked off preacher right now. Praise God. Now see, watch how you do. Well, I guess probably this is a good time to give a courtesy clap. Hallelujah. He talking about the Bible being attacked, so let's just clap, Mildred. When if you attack the Koran, the Muslims will kill you. You know, it's amazing. David Letterman, Jay Leno, a bunch of liars and false. I mean, they're false. You get up there and they'll attack the Bible. Tom Hanks will star in movies like The Da Vinci Code and destroy the credibility of Jesus Christ and try his best to do everything like that. And we flock to those stupid movies like that. And yet, we don't say it. Christians don't get up in arms. But I never see them attack Muhammad. I hadn't seen yet Hollywood come out and just try to destroy the credibility of the Koran. Huh? Well, they did that over in Europe, in one of the countries over there, and I forgot which country it was, but they just wrote a little article, just a cartoon about defacing Muhammad a little bit, and the whole Muslim community in that area went crazy. They attacked the newspaper place, burn it down to the ground. And if they could have got a hold of that cartoonist, they'd have killed him. But yet, we in America, you attack the Bible. Oh, yeah, we shouldn't. They shouldn't do that. Oh, bless your heart. You shouldn't do that. Well, now, with the opposite, you're saying, Brother David, no, we don't operate in fear. We operate in love. But I tell you what, I still got a right to stand up and let my voice be heard. And I declare in Jesus' name that my Bible is the book of God. And I don't appreciate you trying to deface the Word of God and destroy its credibility. Because let me tell you something. This book ain't like any other book. I declare to you right now, the book that many of you got at home on your coffee room table, got your tea glass probably sitting on top of it. That's the book of God. And we got to get back to once again believing it. Do I believe this Bible is the book of God? I believe it is. I stake my life on it. Hallelujah. I'll give my life for this book. Hallelujah. I believe in it from cover to cover. I believe it's the book of God. I've traveled around the world. I've watched what this book will do in people's lives. You've come too late to tell me it's just a book. I'm telling you, listen, you know, let me throw a little nugget at you right now. A person with an experience is never at the mercy of a person who all they have is an argument. I've had an experience with this book. So you can argue all day long that that ain't the book of God. I'm here to declare I've had an experience with this book. And this book is the book of Almighty God. That's the way I believe it. Excuse me, but that's the way I believe it. Hallelujah. I got a closed mind on that subject. Closed. You can argue all day long, atheist, but that is the book of God. It is breathed by God, anointed by God. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something that happened. When 9/11 took place, 2 weeks later, Angie and I was preaching in Arkansas, and I was getting ready to leave Little Rock Airport, and Angie was driving, and she was going to meet me somewhere. So I got on a plane out of Little Rock, Arkansas. This is 2 weeks after 9/11. I get on the airplane, and the airplane is filled. So I'm sitting in my seat, in the middle seat, toward the back. And then I watch four Arabic men get on the airplane. Four. And they sit beside each other. Three on one side and one on the other, right beside each other. And my friend, the tension on that airplane went through the roof. You could, wow. You could cut it with a knife. I mean, it was tense. Listen to this. Wow. I called Angie, and she said, well, babe, do you feel like getting out of the plane? I said, no, I've got peace. I said, I believe the Holy Spirit would tell me what to do. And I said, I got peace on this. And she said, well, you just do what God tells you. But she said, if God tells you, you get off that plane now. And I said, no, I'm okay. So we're sitting there, and all of a sudden, see, everywhere I go, I carry my Bible with me. I just carry this book with me. I'm not ashamed of it. And when I get on the airplane, when David George travels on the airplane, I carry my Bible with me. I think that's smart. I don't know about you, but that's what I like to do. People got their People magazine, their laptops and all that. I got my Bible. Excuse me. I'm sitting in the back. I got this Bible here that's falling apart a little by a little, but it's okay. I like it. And I'm sitting there and I'm reading. And all of a sudden, I felt led of the Lord to read Psalms 91 out loud. Out loud. So I turned over to Psalms 91 and I began to read, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." As I started reading this out loud, just in the voice that I just gave you, I'm sitting right in the middle, man on my left, man on my right. They're leaning in like this. The people in front of me push their seats back like this. Before God. The stewardess walking by stopped right there at my row. Put her hand on the seat of the guy in front of me, or right there, and listened as I read all of Psalms 91. There was not a sound to be heard in that whole airplane, but the sound of a bald-headed evangelist reading Psalms 91. And the peace of God came into that airplane, and people started crying. The stewardess looked over and she said, "Thank you, sir, for reading that." And the peace of God hit that airplane, and man, all tension left. Why? Man, you can read People magazine, you can read an encyclopedia, but there's something about the Word of Almighty God. When you start reading it, mm.
We got a hope through the Word of God. Now, number three, listen to this. We have a hope of a next life. Listen to this. This is really good. So, Proverbs 14:32 says, "The wicked is overthrown through his wrongdoing and calamity, but the consistently righteous has hope and confidence even in death." Now, I came here today to tell every one of you, you're getting ready to die. You're all going to die. I don't care who you are. Even some of you young people think you're immortal. You're going to die. It's just a matter of time. Some of you said, "Well, what are you talking about right now?" Who knows? But let me tell you something. You know, I've traveled around the world. I've been attacked, had assassination attempts and threats and death threats and all that. And people say, "Well, does that scare you?" No. Not afraid. And this is why God's called me to this ministry. Because I'm just not afraid. Well, you know, what if you die? I get promoted. Because you see, I have a confident expectation of a next life. This ain't all there is to it, folks. This ain't all there is to it. A few years ago, I was called by a friend of mine to visit her father in the hospital. And her father was an atheist and was going to die. He had cancer, eaten up with cancer, so he was going to die. I went up there to talk with him, and he was pretty belligerent at first. And he just said, "I don't believe in God. I don't believe anything's going to happen. I believe it's all over with. When I die, that's it." I said, "So you're telling me that when you die, you feel like you're dead just like a dog. I mean, it's finished." He said, "That's what I believe." I said, "Okay." I said, "Let me ask you a question." I said, "What if you're wrong?" He said, "I'm not wrong." I said, no. I said, "Okay, I've heard your arguments. Now," I said, "just what if you're wrong? Hey, what if I'm right? What if there is another life after this one? What if there really is a heaven, and what if there really is a hell?" I said, if you're right, if you're saying that when I die, that's it. It's over with. It's finished. There ain't nothing. I said, "Let me ask you something." I said, "What have I done wrong in helping people? You know, I've helped people, ministered to them, encouraged people, lifted them up, tried my best to be a joy around them and all that." I said, "You know, okay." I said, "I've lost nothing." I said, "But what if I'm right that there is a next life after this life?" And I said, "When you die," I said, "what if I'm right?" And it hit him, and he said, "I'm in a lot of trouble." That's his exact words. He said, "I'm in a lot of trouble." I said, "You're in a lot of trouble." And I said, "You just think about what I said, what if I'm right and you're wrong?" I left him with that. Didn't pray, didn't do anything. I just left him with that little seed. Got home, and a couple of days later, I get a call. And they said, "Would you please come back to the hospital?" I went up there, tears in his eyes, and he said, "I hadn't been able to sleep." Because he said, "I'm dying." And he said, "The fear is, you're right." And he said, "All these years," he said, "I thought there is no God. But," he said, "now I'm faced with the fact that I may have to face him." He said, "Do you think that he would love me even in the state that I'm in right now?" I said, "There's a thief on the side on the cross that said, 'Lord, remember me this day.'" And God said to him, "This day you'll be with me in paradise." I said, "He loves you even in the unlovable state you're in." And I sit right there at the hospital bed and had the privilege of winning and praying him to Jesus Christ. Tears running down his face. He gave his heart to Christ. I brought him some tapes, let him listen to some tapes. And 3 days later, he went to meet the God that he finally knew really did exist. Hallelujah. See, there is a hope of a next life. And listen, I got to hurry. I got to give you this one. We have a hope of his coming. We have a hope of his coming. Listen to this. Titus, the second chapter, verse 13, says, awaiting and looking for the fulfillment, the realization of our blessed hope. Even the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. I want you to listen to me right now. I believe Jesus is coming again. You believe that? I believe it. Because let me tell you something. This world's in a mess. And I'll tell you right now, the world is looking for one man. All nations of the world is looking for one man that can solve the problems of the world. Is there a Superman that can bring the nations together? Maybe have one global currency. And don't think that's too far-fetched. Very, very close at hand. One world currency. Maybe one world government. And if any of you know the scriptures at all, the Bible calls this man the Antichrist. And you don't tell me right now that nations are ready right now to swear allegiance to one man? They've already made statements, be he God or devil, we will receive him. Don't tell me that right now the world is not headed toward one numbering system. A chip right now is being absolutely manufactured right now that can be installed in the back of people's neck, in the forehead, or even right there in the wrist. Yeah, because they're already doing it to animals. Yeah, get a little chip, just take a little syringe, pop that thing in the back of an animal's neck, and that animal, wherever it is, all they got to do is take it to a vet, put it underneath the computer thing, and the chip shows exactly where that animal lives and who its owner is. It's already been done. Yeah. Don't tell me that right now the world is not looking for one man. Right now. Be he God or devil is what they said. We will receive him. So you see, the world is looking for the Antichrist. But I'm going to tell you, while they're looking for the Antichrist, I'm looking for the real Christ. Hallelujah. And I'm here today to declare to you, I believe he's coming again. I really do. I believe Jesus is coming again. I believe, let me just go out further on a limb. I believe most of us here will not taste of death. I believe that the Jesus that I love with every ounce of my being, I believe before I die, I'll actually see him again. Appear. Hallelujah. Wouldn't that be great? Huh? Woo! Hallelujah! I love that, man. Hallelujah, man. We're out of here. We are out of here. You just better pray that if you're in a car with somebody and they're driving, that they're not a Christian, because if they are, you better be saved. And if you're on an airplane, you ask the pilot, are you a Christian? I think that'd be good too. Because you don't want the pilot and the co-pilot. Where they got? They just gone. Where's the plane going? I'm going down. I believe in the hope of his coming, folks. And lastly, listen to this. Watch this. He gives us a hope of victory. A hope of victory. In Zechariah, watch this. God said, return to the covenant. The covenant that is signed and sealed, and I like what he said, by covenant blood. Watch this. This is awesome. Sealed by covenant blood, so return back to the covenant. We have a covenant with God. It is sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I've got a covenant. Hallelujah. It's sealed by covenant blood.
Brother Kenny? By Jesus Christ himself. And he says, return. What the word return means? It means you got away from it. But now, come back to it. Hallelujah. I declare to you, every one of you in this building, it's time for you to get back to the covenant. Whose report are you going to believe? See, some of you, my God, you got your nose stuck in front of the television and you're believing, you know, when Wolf Blitzer in the Situation Room comes on, by the time he gets through with you, you are having a situation in your own life. You want a Prozac and a Valium and a Xanax cocktail. Hello? My God, man, some of you during the day, you got your nose in another world. You're looking for the guiding light. And a lot of you are young and restless. But anyway, I'll go on. Praise God. And you only have Ryan's hope. But anyway, it just comes out sometimes. It's got to be God. Anyway, but the Bible says you return back to the covenant. And I declare to you today, whose report are you going to believe? I don't give a flying flip what Wall Street is saying. I don't care what the White House is saying. I don't care what the economists are saying. I know what he said. And I've got a covenant with him sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I've got confident expectation. And that's what I'm telling the world. I'm trying to give everybody hope. You need to walk out of here today and this week, maybe today, give somebody some hope. Throw a hope message at them. And I'm not talking about this wishful thinking fantasy stuff, hoping you win the lottery junk. I almost said another word, but I didn't. I mean, California I could, but not here. It's not wishful thinking. You know, not pie in the sky. This is confident expectation. Hey, I've got hope. And I'm a prisoner of hope. And I've got to share that with somebody. I've got to give some people some hope, folks. This is the greatest time for you as the body of Christ and me is to give people hope. Walk out of here today. Ask God, bring somebody into my life I can give somebody some hope. I guarantee you somewhere today in a restaurant, in a station, or tomorrow at work, or sometime next week, you'll find somebody that's down and out, dejected, depressed, discouraged, lonely. Don't let that opportunity pass you by. Give them some hope. Hallelujah. Just walk by and say, hey, Jesus is the answer. He's the answer to your problems. He loves you so much. Right now, folks, if I've ever felt something burning in my heart, this message of hope, confident expectation, God's going to take care of you. Now, let me ask you a question this morning. Please be real about this. How many of you are going through some junk right now in your life or in your family? Raise your hand. All right, now watch this. How many of you have lost a job or don't have a job, need a job? Anybody here needs a job? Okay, all right, there's a brother there. Okay, how many has suffered some financial setbacks? Just be real about it, okay? All right, now let me tell you something, what the Word of God says, that when you return to the covenant of prosperity and security, here's what he said. He said, if you'll come back to the covenant, here's what he said. I'll give you double for your trouble. So whatever you're going through right now in your life, God said, if you'll get back to the covenant, make him first place in your life. He said,
everything that the devil's taken away from you, he said, I'll give you double back. I don't know about you, but wow, that is an awesome God. So whatever you're going through right now, I'm here to declare to you, God said he'll give you double for your trouble. I want every one of you that raised your hand said, I'm going through something in my life, maybe sickness, maybe problems in your marriage, home. It doesn't matter. But you're going through some stuff right now. You raise your hand. Come stand right down here in front. Brother, you lost your job. Come on down here. Hallelujah. You're going through some mess right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, brother, just play and sing something what you feel led of the Holy Spirit to do. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There may be some of you that really might not know that somebody the nearest to you may be going through some junk in their own life. They just don't want to tell anybody right now. But this is a great opportunity to give people hope. Hey, guys, all of you look at me. I'm here today to tell you. He says, just get back to the covenant. It's just simple stuff. You know, I gave you such a simple 101 Christian message today. You know, but sometimes we overlook that. You know, looking for the deep revelation things. And we miss out on one of the simple things that he says, return to the covenant. Just get back. Because God says, I want you to walk out of here today, confident expectation that everything is going to be okay. Hallelujah. Boy, I'm feeling this. Look at me. I just want you to see me. He says, have confident expectation. Everything's going to be okay. And then whatever the devil has done to you, God said, I will restore double for your trouble. So whatever the mess that you're going through or in right now, God said, I'm a God of restoration. I'm a God that restores. Now, isn't it amazing that the first four letters of restoration, the first four letters of restore is rest? Huh? So what does that mean? Just a minute. I got to give you a word. This is a word. Hakuna Matata. I just got that. Hakuna Matata. I have watched The Lion King with my grandson 37 times. Out of that whole 37 times of watching, two words, Hakuna Matata. What does it mean? No worries. No worries. Because here's the word of the Lord coming to you right now. He says, if I take care of the birds of the air, how much more valuable are every one of you than the little sparrow? Hallelujah. So he says, don't worry. And everything that you're going through, God said, you will come through it. And I want you to remember something about a valley or a trial or a testing. It's not a place of permanence. It's a place of passage. Because he said, yea, I will I walk through. Through means progress. I'm going to come. I tell you right now, in Jesus' name, on August the 2nd, 2009, you will come through this thing. And God will bring you through it. Can I have a member of the body of Christ to stand behind? Because I believe in the body ministry and praying for one another and bearing one another's burdens. And man, because if you're standing out there, you're saying, hey, I'm not going through anything, but our friends and our family are. And you need to be behind them and just find somebody to stand with just as a connection. Wow. Hallelujah. I just want at least every person down here to have somebody standing behind them. And I want you just to put your hand on their back right now. In church, would you just pray with us right now and just ask the Holy Spirit to touch them? And let this confident expectation start building in them that God is going to bring them through this thing. God is going, oh, hallelujah.
It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay in Jesus' name. Go ahead, brother. Just play that right now. Whatever the Holy Spirit's leading you, flow in the Holy Spirit. Just come on. Right now, Father. Right now. You don't even have to have me touch you, because that's a prayer partner standing behind you that's touching you right now. That's all you need. Holy Spirit, you have given us today a confident expectation in you, a hope that the world does not have. And Lord, you return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Get back to the covenant. And Father, it's all through the blood of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, go ahead. Come on. Let Him minister to you right now where you sit. Holy Spirit, double for your trouble, God says. I'll give you back double for your trouble. I'll give you double for your trouble in the name of Jesus. Whew. Come on, let Him minister to you right now. Let Him minister to you. Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of the Lord. In Jesus' name, peace that passes all understanding. The world can't understand this, folks, but you are. You're walking in it right now. You're walking in it. Come on, let the peace of God come all over you. God said, I'll take care of you. You walk out of here today with a confident expectation in your God. Jesus, you are Lord. There is nobody like you. Nobody. 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 Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Come on, folks. Holy. Holy. Holy is our God. Holy is our God. Holy is our God. Nobody like you, Jesus. Nobody like you. You are our God. Come on, slip your hand up and tell Him you love Him. Go ahead and sing that. Praise God.
Let the weak say, I'm strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say,
everybody in the building, would you stand on your feet and lift your
it's
hands?
What the Lord has done.
Come on, church, sing it.
Let the weak say, I'm strong. Let the poor say,
let the weak say, I'm strong.
Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see.
Nobody like
it's
you, Jesus.
What the Lord has done in me. Salvation.
this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want you to turn around to somebody, and I just want you to tell them, I have hope in Jesus. Come on, I have hope in Jesus. Everything's going to be okay. Have hope in Jesus, man. Everything's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Can you just say this with me out loud? Hope has a stronghold on me. Oh, come on, let's do it again. Hope has a stronghold on me. Woo. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Wow. Our hope is in Christ, Brother Kenny. Amen, amen. We have a service this evening too, don't we? At 6 o'clock? Will it be here? Oh, okay. Praise God. We have a service here at 6 o'clock this evening. You're more than welcome. We'd love to have you. In fact, if you don't come after this message, we're going to pray and ask God to blow your TV up. No, I won't. I won't. I won't. DVD player, maybe, but not your TV. Amen. We love you. Susie, it's so good to see you. There's a lady here who's been a friend of our family for many, many years. And I hadn't seen her in a long, long time. It's good to see you. Thank you for being here today. Amen. God bless you. We love you.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Give the Lord a good clap offering. Amen. Praise God. It's good to see people out everywhere. Amen. I want you to remember, you know, David said one thing that'll stick with me forever. Because how many of you ever had a stronghold that the enemy would bind you with? Well, I want you to know you do have a stronghold, and that's the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a stronghold we need to be under. So let's take that stronghold and let's go with it. And be not moved by what you see, what you hear, but trust in the Lord our God. Amen? Go ahead, brother. If y'all need to go, you can go ahead. But they're going to sing. And if you want to shout, you want to dance, you just go for it.
He's the mighty one of Israel. His voice shall be